Hey, how's it going, folks? And welcome to a new episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast. I'm with my co-host here, Joe Stumpo, and this is me, Mike Caliendo. We're going to talk about some of the biggest news around baseball regarding spring training, and we already have some unfortunate injury news right here in New York. So we're going to start off with the Yankees. Stanton is down again.
Shocker. I mean, it wouldn't be a normal offseason or a spring training if Stanton wasn't on the injury report, right? It's very unfortunate. He's dealing with tennis elbow, according to Aaron Boone. Basically, he was dealing with this from the ALDS all the way through to the World Series. It basically went unreported. Nobody knew he was struggling with this, and he was still able to have a monster postseason, so it's pretty crazy that he was dealing with that. But I'm used to this, man. As a Yankee fan, since 2021, he hasn't played in at least 120 games. So, like I said, this is not something I'm shocked about, but I'm definitely concerned, because if he's going to miss, you know, multiple months, then that's going to be pretty serious for the lineup, because that's less protection for Judge. So I'm a little nervous about that. We haven't even laced up the cleats yet, Mike, and he's already out for a substantial amount of time. So it's kind of nerve-wracking, because this lineup is, you know, it's different, but we need these guys to be in the lineup in order to be successful, and right now it's not looking like that to start the season off.
So, I mean, my thing with Stanton, to me, I think this might be a little bigger than what's being put out there right now, because he hasn't been able to swing a bat in almost a month.
He said that. He said he hasn't swung a bat since the World Series.
I mean, I feel like there could be more there, so obviously as this develops, there's going to be more news to come out about it. You know, now they're saying that he might not make the opening day roster due to this, and this is not what you want. You know, spring training just started. You know, some guys haven't even fully reported yet. You know, the teams aren't even full, and this guy's hurt already. This is not what you want. This is not what you want going into the new season.
No, and now what does that do for the DH spot? If you're Brian Cashman and the Yankees, you kind of put pressure on Oswaldo Cabrera. Is he going to be the DH now? I mean, you know, third base is already looking like DJ LeMahieu. He's a $15 million for the next 2 years, so he's going to be playing if he's healthy. So now what does that do for the DH spot? Like I said, does that slide in Cabrera? Do you try to hope for, you know, a potential move to be made? I don't know. Are you just going to wait it out and hopefully Stanton comes back and he's okay? It's going to be very, very interesting to see. I think Boone is going to be sweating over this for a while. And I think if you're Cashman, you really got to go into Hal's office and say, we're in trouble. You know, if we don't get some depth, we're going to be in some serious trouble. And if they don't see that, then it's going to be looking like Oswaldo Cabrera literally in the DH spot for the foreseeable future until Stanton comes back.
Yeah, and you know, aside from maybe 2023, you know, you've missed Stanton, like you said, a bunch of times, a bunch of different injuries, and the Yankees have still found themselves either in a wild card spot or leading the division, and come postseason, he's there, he's healthy, he plays, and he plays well. So, I mean, I've made the joke that, you know, if you miss Stanton for half the season, as long as he plays in the postseason and performs, then who cares? You know, as long as he's playing.
Right, but I don't want to have to wait till October for that. You know what I mean? Like, I get what you're saying, but listen, we all know Soto's not in this lineup anymore. There's not that much, you know, added protection. Yes, I'm totally happy with Bellinger and Goldschmidt, but like I said, it's a different lineup, and we need Stanton in this lineup in order for this whole thing to work properly. If it doesn't work properly, it's going to be kind of scary, because like I said, the depth is kind of iffy. You got Cabrera again. We don't know what's going to happen with Cabrera. He could, you know, he could play the outfield too. He's very versatile. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but I really don't want him out playing DH for the next 2.5 months, because usually when Stanton's out, it's 60 days or more. So it's not something that's usually a temporary thing when it comes to time. It's usually an extensive amount of time that he's out. So Yankee fans are used to this. Like I said, it's not something that we're going to get mad at. Yes, is it frustrating? 100%. But it's something that we deal with every season, Mike. So it's not something new. We just hope that the new guys that we got stay in the lineup, because these are the guys that we need. But Stanton is supposed to be that piece that's supposed to be there day in and day out, and it's just not going to happen like that. We have to understand that Stanton is not going to play 140 or 150 anymore. He's going to be around 100 games, 110, if that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this has to be concerning, because you're almost banking on Stanton to have a healthy season, and, you know, that's a tough sell to bank on Stanton to be healthy. You know, so with some of the new additions to the lineup, listen, I'm not crazy about most of them. Defensively, you guys showed up fine, but, you know, to miss Stanton, he's a key part, and he's key protection, like you said, for Aaron Judge, for Bellinger. to miss him now, and listen, we don't know what the ramifications are going to be and how long this actually could affect them. And, you know, obviously, hopefully, you don't want this to be a long-term thing. You want him in the lineup as soon as he can. You want him taking reps in spring training. You want him on track. You want him healthy. You know, so this, I can understand where you're coming from. And even just as a baseball fan in me, watching this happen over and over again, it's frustrating because he's one of the premier bats in baseball. He has been for a long time. And he just can't stay healthy. And I definitely feel your frustration. You know, I mean, going forward, I mean, what are you going to do? Like you said, it was Oswaldo Cabrera, Trent Grisham, who's also actually hurt with a hamstring injury as well.
Yep.
That's mild, though, so I don't think that's cause of concern. That's going to happen. That's going to be wear and tear. Maybe get it out of the way now, you know, before the, you know, before spring training and some meaningful games actually get started. But, you know, I mean, yeah, this has got to be frustrating because your lineup is already in a state of question because of, obviously, the loss of Juan Soto, and you've pivoted in other ways. You know, so this is not how you want to start the spring.
Yeah, and Stanton, he only had one stint on the IL actually last year, Mike, which is actually surprising. He usually makes multiple trips to the IL. He did miss 48 games, but at least it was only one time on the IL. Yes, it was pretty extensive. He missed 48 games in one shot. It wasn't like it was broken up or anything. He was literally out for 48 straight, but he was able to stay in the lineup after that and even before that. So he did have, like I said, he had that one little stint and he was able to come into the playoffs ready, but now it's the start of the season and he's not able to gel with the new guys on the team like Goldschmidt and Bellinger and, you know, kind of get into the groove with the lineup, and it's going to leave more pressure on Judge again in the bottom of that lineup to really have to do something. And we're losing 30-plus home runs now. And usually if the first 2 months of Stanton's healthy, but that's at least 10 home runs right off the bat, and that's going to be a big drop-off in production. And hopefully Judge and the top of the lineup can really make up for it, because it's going to be interesting, like I said, to see what goes on.
Hey, guys, look, I just want to throw this out there. If you can, please follow us on Instagram at DiamondDiscussions25. We want to read your comments. We want to read your feedback. If you have any type of questions, anything you want us to talk about, we want to hear from you. Also, if you can hit us up on either X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But at that, we are DDiscussions25. Again, throw us any type of question and, you know, reach out to us. We want to hear from you and we want to answer some of your questions. Now, moving on to another injury on the other side of town. One of the newest additions to the Mets, rotation, Frankie Montas. He looked like he might be shut down for the next 6 to 8 weeks. You know, I would say I'm a little frustrated as well. I don't take too much into it. I don't want to say I'm not expecting Montas to have a good or great year or anything along those lines, but it's not as maybe premier as the Stanton thing, in my opinion, because Montas is more back-end guy. We don't really know exactly what to expect from him. I expect some sense of a bounce back if he stays healthy, which this is not a good start.
No, and it's another guy with the injury bug, and as me being a Yankee fan, him being an ex-Yankee, he missed a lot of substantial time as a Yankee. And it's traveled with him everywhere. It wasn't just as a Yankee. He was injured with Cincinnati a little bit. He was injured with the Brewers a little bit. And, you know, he missed some time with Oakland. But like I said, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Clay Holmes too, I think, because you know how much length can you get out of him right now, Mike? You think? I mean, he's going to have to come in, and are you really expecting 5 innings from Holmes? What are you going to get from Paul Blackburn? What's going to go on with David Peterson? Is Senga going to be able to stay healthy? You know, it's that top end of the rotation. It's looking kind of iffy, and I know it's a little worrisome for the fans, but I feel like it also puts a little pressure on their lineup too. They got to score a lot of runs early, I feel. Because you just don't know what the consistency of the rotation right now with Montas going down.
Yeah, and again, it's just this is why you have pitching depth, because this is things like this are going to happen.
Guys are going to get hurt. It's so important.
And guys are going to get hurt. It's just, unfortunately, it's the sad part of our game. This is what happens, you know, and maybe better early than later on in the season when you're in the middle of things and things are gelling. You know, at least hopefully let's just get this one out of the way. And when he revamps in 6 to 8 weeks, that he could bounce back. And, you know, he could be a potential, a decent part of this rotation. Now, my thing is, I've seen it all around Instagram, Twitter, everywhere today, that the, I would say maybe overreaction of the Montas injury now. Because, you know, I've heard people say that he was a prized possession. And to me, that's just laughable, because I don't consider Frankie Montas a prized possession. I think he's a considerable piece in your starting rotation, But to say a prized possession to me is almost laughable.
Yeah, that's too much. That's a reach right there.
Yeah, and listen, at the end of the day, with the depth that they have, and you know, listen, this could open the door for Sprout. If he has a strong spring, maybe he's the guy. And you know what? I can't say I'd be upset with that. You know, sometimes this is how these young guys get their start. Somebody goes down, the next man up. And who's it going to be? Who's going to take on this role? I mean, there's also the option of Tylor McGill. He's been shaky, you know, I'll admit that. He's definitely been shaky, but he's an option. You have options. It's not like, you know, this was your last hope and this was the last guy on your list, you know, so there are some options there. Now, I know you bring up the Clay Holmes point. Listen, from what the minimal I've seen of him so far in spring, I'm liking what I'm seeing. He looks good.
Oh, no, that's great. I want him to look good, just for the sake of him having a good tenure with the Mets. But I just think when it comes to length for Clay Holmes, I don't know how much he's done in order to get innings under his belt. I know sometimes when he's gone over 35 pitches, he seems to crap out. Now, I don't know whether that's because if he's in a jam and he's, you know, under a lot of pressure with those 35 pitches coming in, you know, the back end of a game. Usually you see Clay in the eighth or ninth. Now he's going to be starting. So, you know, if he could get through the first two innings smoothly, I think it's going to be okay. But if he runs into a little trouble and then he's got 50 pitches after two innings, you know, you got to start looking at your pen to go to your pen early. You know, I don't know how much length he's really going to be able to offer. And like I said, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the offense early, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on the bullpen weekly. You know, if he can't give you length, it's going to be a little scary. So, you know what? I don't think it's anything to worry about, like you said. Even if Montas does miss a lot of time, I do see Steve maybe pulling out another trick under his sleeve and maybe making a deal for Dylan Cease.
I don't want to touch that right now. I don't want to touch that because at this point with the Mets, that's almost maybe I don't know how much dialect there has been with San Diego and the Mets at this point. But I'll say I don't want to touch that right now because it's almost a desperation button. And I think San Diego, from what it seems like, is already asking for a king's ransom. I don't want to give them more of an opportunity to ask for more.
And I think you could blame,
I just don't want to do
and,
it.
And I think you could blame the Boston Red Sox for that, because now there's reports saying that they were interested in Cease and they maybe could have driven the price up, which now makes the Padres feel like, oh, we got, you know, a couple of teams that are dangling some offers out there, but maybe even not for Cease, but if they could maybe go elsewhere and maybe find something that works for them, just to add a little bit more depth. I don't know. It could be a little nerve-wracking with the rotation if it doesn't pan out. Just because I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on the bullpen.
All right. So out of the two big injuries coming out of New York to start the spring camp, which one to you is most concerning?
I'm going to say Stanton, only because it's going to affect the lineup for an extended period of time. And due to the fact that we're looking at the options that we're looking at, like I said, it's going to be a potential of Oswaldo Cabrera, maybe Trent Grisham. And, you know, Cabrera would be, like I said, the better option to me, because Grisham just, he seems to, he can't hit for two, he can't hit for average, and he can't get over the 200 mark. So, yeah, I'm going to say the Yankees for this one is going to be a little bit more of a concern for me.
I'm going to have to agree with that on the grounds of who is his replacement, like you just said, Trent Grisham. Is it Cabrera? Is it Peraza? I think LeMahieu is now almost guaranteed to be playing most of his time at third base. You know, I mean, I know you guys have Dom Smith, Mets legend. You know, I don't know if that's an option.
And don't be shocked, Yankee fans, if he gets called up because he's a lefty bat. Don't be shocked.
That's entirely possible. But my thing is now, there was already a lot of question marks going into your offense production to start this season. I mean, you're going to rely on Bellinger to bounce back. You're going to rely on Oldie at first base.
He went there with Oldie.
Yeah, I'm going to do it, man. He's up there in age, and his production has dropped down. And I'm a big Goldschmidt fan. I always have been. But, you know, you brought on a guy, and I know you took a flyer on him, and it's a one-year not rental, but it's a one-year thing. But yeah, I'm going to go there. Oldie at first base. I mean,
but listen, his production was better than all three first basemen that we had platooning there last year. So if he could do what he did last year, his exact stat line, I think he had 246 with 22 homers and 65 RBIs. If he does that, it's better than all three of the first basemen that we had last year. So we're literally not even asking him to do more than he did last year. Just do what you did last year. And I'll actually be cool with that, Mike. I swear. If he does what he did last year, I am perfectly fine
but
with the
production. Now, this sounds, I know this territory because I am a Met fan and I've studied Wilpon economics my entire life, and I know what this feels like. And this is very frustrating that you have to look at a guy who had a mediocre season and say, well, he's an upgrade from what we had last year. That is a that's terrible.
But even defensively, he's a better it's an upgrade as well.
Yeah, but he's also trending down defensively. So, listen, he's still a solid first baseman, and he's still better than what you had. Fine. But the fact that you guys were so atrocious at first base last year that you're relying on Oldie to be good in your lineup, I mean...
Listen, I actually don't think he's going to be an issue. I really don't think. I'm a little more concerned that it's a health thing now. And you know what? Goldschmidt is another guy. Yes, he's 37. He's not the 30-year-old spring chicken like he was. But he can play 155 games. Literally, he could play. He could give you all... I think he played 158 last year. If he gives me 158... That's already a win for the $12.5 million that we're spending. Now, I don't want him playing 158 games. I'd rather him maybe take some time at DH and take some time off to just preserve him. You know what I mean? But he's going to be such a big part of our offense and our defense that you're going to have to see him out there. So he better produce, because if he doesn't produce, like I said, with Stanton being out, it's going to be the Aaron Judge show again. Literally.
Now, do you consider maybe bringing up, does Ben Rice make the roster now? Is he an option?
Yes,
I would say so.
Ben Rice has been practicing with the catchers as well, because he's actually a catcher too. So first base was a role that he picked up later in his career. He's actually catcher first, first baseman second. So listen, he's taking reps with the catchers. He's taking reps with the first baseman. I'm fine with that. You know, like I said, it gives us a little more flexibility at both the catcher spot and the first base spot. I have no problem with Ben Rice making this roster. He actually may have to make the roster without, even if you don't want to, we may have no choice. If Stan's going to be off the roster, you know, come opening day, Ben Rice may have to be there.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's what it could look like, unless you guys go out and get somebody. But, you know, you guys are reluctant to maybe make a move because of the fact that you're not moving on from Marcus Stroman. You're not making another move until Stroman supposedly moves. I have issues with that across the board, but you know, maybe that's a story for another day. Guys, listen, we're going to put a poll up, and we want to hear your thoughts about it. Take the poll. What injury between the Mets and the Yankees, between Frankie Montas and Giancarlo Stanton, which one do you guys think is more detrimental to the team at this point? We've given you ours. We want to hear from you. Also, in the regards of hearing from you, I'll say it again. Guys, hit us up on Instagram, DiamondDiscussions25. Hit us in a direct message. Comment on any of our posts. Give us a shout. Give us any questions. Anything you want us to talk about. And I'll say the same on Twitter. You can get us at DDiscussions25. Same thing.
Yeah, we really appreciate the support, guys.
Absolutely. And now, moving on to another topic, not New York, but it's a little controversial. Did you happen to hear the comments by Rafi Devers today?
Oh, who didn't? If you're a baseball fan, you 100% heard the comments that he is no habla español when it comes to, no habla inglés when it comes to the DH spot, right? And I think the reporter was like, when he said no, the reporter was like, hey, can you translate that as a joke to his translator?
That was funny.
So he was like, no. And he actually said, to go in depth, he was like, if they ask me to play, to not play third and to DH, I'm going to tell them straight out, my desire is to play third base. So what do you think Bregman feels about that? I mean, I guess that's already saying, hey, I guess I'm the second baseman now.
I don't know how that's going to play out, but I will say this on two accounts for this. I mean, one, you could appreciate the competitor in Rafi Devers. He does not want to give up his spot at third base. Fine. But in the same regard, Rafi Devers is probably the worst defensive third baseman in baseball.
It's not probably. So, he's made 174 errors in the last, I think it was 6 years since being at third.
Right. And listen,
so he leads all third basemen.
He is one of the premier bats in baseball. I'm not going to take that away from him. But again, defensively, he is potentially a liability. Now, you look at the fact that they did go out and get Bregman, who potentially he's going to play second, but I don't know how that experiment's going to work out. But now you have two third basemen, and you may not know where to go. I mean, realistically speaking, what is the point here with Rafi Devers? Do you want to win, or do you want to stand your ground? Because if I could do my best Rafi impression, hey, Rafi, are you a good defensive third baseman? No, because that's exactly how he said it when asked if he would go to DH.
And he's not. I mean, look at the match. Look at the numbers. I mean, he's been bad. Literally 174 errors since he's took over the third base spot. That leads all of baseball, not just the American League. That leads all of baseball. That means you are a liability at third base. 100%. Like you just said, they need to figure something out. They signed Bregman for a reason. Do you want to put him at third? They probably do want to put him at third, Mike. They probably don't want to put him at second. They probably don't mind putting him at second because they probably want to move Trevor Story over to short because that's his natural spot. But you're giving Bregman $40 million a year for the next 3 years, and he's definitely not opting out. We spoke about that, because who's giving him that money? But Devers is going to have to think, I may have to move to DH in order for this team to win, and in order for the lineup to be smooth, and you know, defensively they're trying to shore everything up. Devers, you're not the guy that's defensively going to make this team better. So you need to make a choice. And I don't think the Red Sox will have to trade him, but they're going to put the Red Sox in the corner.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go that far. I think Devers' relationship with Alex Cora is you know, a very good one. I think they have a very good respect for each other. So I listen, and Cora even said it. This is not about Alex Bregman. This is not about me. This is not about Devers. This is about the Red Sox. So they're going to have to figure that out. I know Yankee fans love to hear controversy coming out of the Red Sox camp already. listen, for me, if you go out and sign Alex Bregman, who just is coming off a Gold Glove, to me, he's the third baseman. I know Devers is there. It's his team. That's fine. But where I would say the reporter lacked, to me, the question should have been, do you want to win a World Series? And if so, would you take the move to DH? Because that does make your team better. So to just ask him flat out about going to third the way he responded, I would expand on that. Do you want to win a World Series? Because with the addition of Alex Bregman, you could potentially argue here that the Red Sox arguably have one of the best lineups in the American League, and especially in the American League East. Now, again, I'm going to say if I have the choice, if it's my decision, I would say that Bregman goes to third. But listen, I'm not in that spot. We could do this all day, but to me...
I agree with you. I think Devers needs to really understand that he's a defensive liability. And if the Red Sox are going to stand their ground, they're going to move him to DH. You know, he's going to cost them a lot of games. When it comes to the defensive side of the ball, listen, he's a monster with the bat. It's like a Soto type deal, right? I mean, he's not as, Soto's obviously not as defensively, declining as Devers is, but his bat can make up for it. But he literally leads in errors. I mean, what else do you need to tell this guy? Like, I would literally sit down with him and be like, give me five reasons why you should be my starting third baseman.
Other than no.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I signed the third baseman for a reason. Like, you're going to be DH. I wouldn't even make it a thing. I would just be like, this is what's going to happen. We're not giving you a choice. But I understand he's a really big part of the team, and you don't want to kind of, like, boss him around, but maybe you have to a little bit in this situation.
Well, that's why I did like Alex Cora's response. He kept it short and sweet, but it was also stern. You know, I know Devers went a little further into that, and, we discussed it. But, also you have to consider the fact that the Red Sox were in talks with St. Louis about Arenado. So we were going to have that discussion too, because Arenado is one of the greatest defensive third basemen of all time.
And then if the Red Sox would have gotten Arenado, what are you doing with Devers at this point? Now you have two third basemen.
Arenado apparently did say in the right situation he would consider a move to first, which I do respect that because Arenado is trying to win. So, again, with Devers, who maybe feels he doesn't have to because he won already, I don't know. I mean, to me, winning is everything. It's the key in this game. That's what we want to do. That's the ultimate goal. So are you trying to make a pride move, or do you actually believe that you're better suited for third base than Bregman? I mean, where are we going with this? If you want to win, that's the move to be made, especially the fact that your team brought in somebody who's got a hell of a bat, and he's a hell of a defender. So to me, this is not a discussion. But That's their drama. Let them figure it out.
And listen, it is an ego thing. It really is. Like you just pointed out, Mike, it does become a gut punch to the ego because he got his money. You know, Devers signed his big contract as a third baseman, not as a DH, not as a first baseman, not as anything else but a third baseman. So when you get told, hey, listen, we're going to go another route, and then there's numbers behind it to back it up, these guys don't know how to handle it. It becomes like I said, it's a gut punch. They can't take that initial heat that they're getting, A, from the media, B, from the organization, and C, from the fans. The fans know that he's the worst third baseman in the league. You think that they're going to these games and they're not realizing it and watching these games at home? 174 errors since he's taken over third base? That's how do you not speak on that? If you're the GM and if you're Devers and you're sitting there, like I said, give me three reasons why you should be my third baseman.
Right.
It's and listen, you already made this statement by signing Bregman, right? You're literally telling him, we went out and got a third baseman that we think is better than you defensively. So what are you going to do? If you're a team player, you would have said, I'll DH immediately. It's kind of like we're going back towards Stroman. Stroman said, I'm not a bullpen guy, I'm a starter. These guys, it's a gut punch, I'm telling you. Sometimes the ego does go over winning. These guys don't care about winning as much as they care about their ego, Mike.
Which, I don't know, that's to me, and you see some of these guys around. I mean, look at A-Rod, and, you know, eliminate some of his extra stuff aside. You know, he was one of the better defensive shortstops in baseball at the time, and when he made the move to come to the Yankees, he made the decision and took it in stride and said, I'm going to go play third. And he also said there was a documentary about Jeter and everything. And he flat out said, like, at no point if Jeter ever got hurt or was going to short, that he was ever going to go to shortstop. Like, he understood the assignment. He knew his role because he wanted to win. I'll give him that much credit. And that's about as far as I go with A-Rod. But, you know, in this situation, it's really just you see some of these guys. You know, I think Bellinger coming over with you guys. I think Bellinger would have probably played anywhere you asked him to that yes, he was capable of.
And he could play anywhere.
And he can. You know, I agree with that. I mean, even look at Jason Dominguez. I mean, you could say him. He's a center fielder. But now they put Bellinger there. And Dominguez is now in a crazy, like, left field boot camp to try to enhance his defense.
Which makes me nervous because not only is he in it was called a quote-unquote crash course. What does that mean? There's only so many weeks that we have until the season starts. He's going to learn how to play left field in a month. First of all, just to touch on that 1 second, I do think Bellinger should be in left and Dominguez should be in center. But we could always talk about that another time. But it does make me a little nervous that he's not very good defensively in left field, and he's good in center field. I don't know why we switched that around, but like I said, that's a topic for another day. It's a little nerve-wracking. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that, because Belichick could play four positions if you think about it. He could play center, left, right, and first.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask Bellinger to do just about anything at any given moment, he's going to do it, and most of these guys do. But, you know, I think it's funny that now you have some controversy at the same position between the two heated rivals between Boston and New York. You know, I don't know, third base. I feel like this is Abbott and Costello. I mean, where are we going with this? They got to figure it out. Listen, but the only thing I could say is, like I mentioned earlier, with the Devers and Cora thing, you know, I think there's enough mutual respect there, and I think Devers looks, he feels very high regard towards Alex Cora. If he sits down and talks with him, I think this could get straightened out. I think eventually, like you said, I don't think we're going to go as far as a trade. I think, listen, that's way too early to even talk about, but hey, we could talk about it.
Yeah, and that would be pretty interesting to see what you could maybe get for a Devers and who would be interested in a guy like Devers, because, like I said, you know, these other teams see what his defensive metrics are like, and I don't know if they're going to be thrilled about playing him at third base. They may say, like you said, switch you over to first, or you're going to be a DH. That's maybe the only options he's got. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what the Red Sox do. I do think they're going to be in second place this year. I do think they take the second spot over Baltimore, actually, this year in the division. That's just my pick.
Well, I mean, like we discussed in our last show, Baltimore was incredibly underwhelming in the offseason. So, yeah,
very disappointing.
I can see that now with the addition of Bregman and how they've bolstered their rotation and their lineup. Yeah, I could absolutely see
that. And Bregman was actually the only second position player that they added this year. They added a catcher, Carlos Navarez, mm-hmm. and Bregman, and they got like five other pitchers. So they went really pitching heavy, and they have a lot of depth pitching-wise when it comes to their pen and their starters. So they're gearing up, and the Yankees did the same thing. The Yankees went more pitching because, I guess, the offense, we went a little bit of a different route. The AL East is going to be a very, very tough division this year, 100%.
Fair. And, hey, listeners, I'm going to bother you again. How do you feel about the Rafi Devers situation? Do you not care? We want to know. Again, reach out to us on our Instagram, DiamondDiscussions25. Let's hear from you. We'll talk about it. And again, if you want to hit us up on Twitter or X, however you want to describe it, same thing, DDiscussions25. What do you think of that situation? Moving on to another piece out of spring training, to a guy that's making a move to another position, Mike Trout.
And you want to talk about a team player?
Yeah. I think at this point, Mike Trout's career, for me, a baseball fan, has been the most frustrating because it's just the talent and what we've missed due to his injuries. Now, Trout is moving over to right field, coming out of center. They asked if he would go back to center at any point. He kind of just brushed it off. I think his days in center field are done. And he flat out said, I just want to be on the field.
He literally should have moved 5 years ago.
Yeah,
they
you know
have
what?
Did this 5 years ago.
Trout, we're right there with you. We want to see you on the field, whatever that means, whatever by any means necessary at this point. You are one of the most talented players I think you and I have ever seen. And, dude, we want to see you play.
And how much of a shame it is that him and Ohtani were actually on the same team. That's insane. You know, now Ohtani's, forget it, he's got everybody. He's with half of...
he's with the Avengers. I mean, yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
It's like a Marvel movie over there in L.A. But but it's crazy how literally they might have been the best 1-2 punch that we never got to see, I guess. Because Trout was always hurt and they didn't, you know, get to always put a full season together. But it's really crazy how we could tell our children that Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani literally played on the same team together at one
and
point.
And nothing came from it.
And nothing came from it. Literally nothing came from it.
You know what? I'm going to maybe throw some shots at Anthony Rendon on that one. I mean, you and I have been talking about this over the last few days. And, you know, obviously we saw that Anthony Rendon is going down for hip surgery. I know this is a little old, but I kind of have to sound off on it a little bit. Anthony Rendon frustrates me to my core because there are so many stories of aspiring baseball players that may get hurt, that may never make it. And you have a guy who's flat out come out and said he basically doesn't like playing baseball.
Little doesn't like his job.
Yeah, looks at it as a job. And, I mean, the craziest stat that I saw in the five-year span that Rendon has been with the Angels, Ted Williams played more games during World War II and he fought in the war.
Yeah, unbelievable. Literally.
That is a travesty to me. And, you know, I think Rendon at this point, like, I want to say just like, dude, just don't come back. But at the same time, then you get the easy way out because you get paid and you get to stay home. No, come back. Play center field for all I care. I want to see you on the field. Be miserable because to me, it's just like the lowest of the low when it comes to your attitude and perspective on the game. Listen, at the end of the day, you have one of the greatest gifts that most fans would love to have, would love to be in your shoes. And you have the audacity to say that you don't like playing baseball? So then don't. Go get a job anywhere else. If it's just a job to you and it means nothing, then forfeit your contract, retire, go somewhere, and go get a regular job. Be a regular Joe Schmo, just like the rest of us.
And it's a spit into the face of the fans. That he's spitting into the face of the fans. Literally, these guys spend their hard-earned money, take their kids to a ball game. It's like $500 before you even buy a hot dog, and this guy doesn't like his job. Meanwhile, you got guys in the stands with their families, and they probably don't like their job, and they just spent all this money on a game that you don't even like playing. So it's like, what do you tell your kid? Like, hey, look at that third baseman. He's only going to play about 10 times this year, and he hates being there. No, I don't want that guy out there. I want a guy like Mike Trout that's moving to right field and says, I don't care where I'll play. I'll sell hot dogs. I'll sell pretzels. I'll sell cotton candy. As long as I'm in the ballpark, just keep me in the ballpark. That's a guy that you want your kid to emulate. Not a guy like Anthony Rendon, who's pulling people out of the stands. He's fighting with people in Oakland. Remember that?
Yeah.
He got into the fight with that guy. What do you think? You're a tough guy? Like, nobody thinks you're a tough guy. Like, it's just, and you know what? Sometimes I have no sympathy for guys like this. Yeah, I don't want to see people get hurt and people have their careers ruined. But when you have that type of attitude, like you just alluded to, it's ridiculous. And we're not going to miss you, Anthony Rendon. So, I, you know, best of luck to you, really.
Not to be a little cliche here, but to quote A Bronx Tale, the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. Yeah. And Anthony Rendon was a key factor to the 2019 Nationals.
Which is amazing to me. It's like this wasn't a bad contract if you think about it when it first happened.
Yeah.
He was a monster. Like the Angels were getting a good player to team up with Trout and Ohtani. And he was just, like you said off air, we were talking about the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
That's been out the window with him. Forget it. Since he put on the Angels jersey, he's been a complete zero.
Yeah, it's to me, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I have no, like you said, I have no sympathy for him as far as a baseball player goes. Again, like there are people dying to be in your shoes and you want to come out and basically say that. Now, listen, he's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to feel how he feels, but it is a slap in the face to the game. And, you know, you had an opportunity to maybe do something special. Again, hitting with Ohtani, hitting with Trout. I mean, come on. And again, to say that you don't like your job, congratulations. Most people don't, but they don't have the opportunity that you do, and they weren't gifted with the talent that you had, and you basically just want to put it to the wayside and spit in the face of the game as itself. To me, he's the lowest of the low, you know, aside from maybe some of the cheaters of the game, but I almost put him right in that category. It's very pathetic in my opinion.
And I feel bad for a guy like Trout that has to actually play with a guy like this.
Yeah, I feel bad for a guy like Trout that constantly gets hurt but wants to be on the field and is one of the like the greatest faces of baseball that we've ever seen. That Mike Trout, he signs before every game. He's dealing with the fans constantly. I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want to see. And then you're gonna pair him up with a guy like Rendon, who I don't want to be here. I don't like my job. Go away, dude.
And go away. And you know what? If the Angels would have known maybe what they know now, he probably isn't an Angel. They got duped big time.
Big time, yeah. Literally I agree with that. I think this is probably, confidently I will say, is the worst contract in any major sport in the history of anything.
They were signing a third baseman who just came off a World Series win, like you just said, who was huge for the team. Big, big, big part of the Nationals lineup for years. And he just has been like, it's a complete 180 since he's, like I said, since he's walked in the door. And you know what? I would feel bad if it was injuries plaguing him. But then, like I said, those comments that he's been making the past couple of years, some of the actions that he's portrayed, you know, like I said, with the fans, you know, I don't feel bad for guys like this, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, and you know what? It is crazy. But guys, again, out there, what do you think? Again, hit us up on Instagram, DiamondDiscussions25. Hit us up on Twitter, X, again, however you want to describe it, DDiscussions25. What do you think? Do you think Anthony Rendon is the worst contract in all of baseball or all of any major sport across the world? We'll love to hear from you. I mean, I think we've given you our opinion there. That's how we feel. But, you know, we'd love to hear you about it. Now, I guess our last piece of spring training drama that we got going on, we are approaching the final hour of the contract extension talks with Vladdy Jr. He's expected to be reporting tomorrow, so I'm sure the media is going to be all over him. And he's going to probably have some statements regarding the situation if they don't reach a deal. To this point, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I think that we've spoken about Toronto a few times on this show. And to me, what they've done to Vlad has been a little bit of a slap in the face as well. I mean, you've thrown money at Otani. You've thrown money at Soto. Guys you did not sign. And a guy that is a homegrown piece that you signed internationally now that does want to stay in Toronto, because that's the thing. You offer the most money to some of these players and they just don't want to come there. And you actually have an opportunity with a phenomenal talent.
He was born there. He's literally homegrown talent, like literally.
And
he says he loved his childhood there too.
Yeah, and he wants to stay. He wants his price. He wants his money. You know, I could respect it. But, you know, this is a guy that's about to enter his prime. And, you know, if he picks it up, I think he's gonna, because we saw a little bit of a resurgence last year. I think we have an angry Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and that seems to be when he cut his hair. And I think he made a statement with that. It was a new fresh, a new beginning, if you will, just like here with spring training, that he's starting over, maybe starting fresh, and he seems motivated and he seems angry. Now, I think some of that frustration and anger could be directed towards, you know, management, upper management, Toronto. How do you not get this done? I don't understand.
Especially because they didn't sign Soto, right, Mike? You know that. So now that they have the $700 million or $750 million that they weren't going to spend, where's that money? You didn't spend it. You gave $92.5 million to Santander. You gave $15 million to Scherzer, and you got Andrés Giménez. Okay, and you got the closer. What was his name? Hoffman. So yeah, you spent $33 million on him. You spent they put a good couple of pieces together for their team and to solidify the lineup with Santander there. And, you know, getting Max Scherzer. What are you going to do now? What are you going to tell Vladdy that you only spent about $150 to $200 million of that money? There's $500 million left. That should be going to Vlad. I don't know where else it's going to go. They didn't upgrade anywhere else. It looks like the team they're going to put out is the team they're going to put out. But if you take Vladdy out of that lineup, they are a bottom of the cell team in the AL East.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Now, if a deal is not reached at this point, you know, Vladdy does not want to negotiate going forward, going into the season. And a lot of players feel that way, and a lot of players don't want to negotiate midseason. It's a distraction for them. They just want to focus on the game. They want to focus on hitting and making a push. Now, for me, I mean, if you're Toronto and maybe you're not going to re-sign Vlad, I mean, you have a very tough decision to make that your fan base is not going to like, and that's you probably forced to trade him, because if he walks for nothing, then you look even more foolish than the negotiations at this point. So, I mean, to me, if I had the opportunity, if how I would see it is you maybe should have just tried to go all in. I know they did, you know, again, the whole bridesmaid thing. But why not go all in? Why not one last shot? Let's really give it a shot. Now, they've made some decent moves. Like you said, Scherzer. They brought in Hoffman. And they brought in Santander. But I don't even know who's the third baseman. Like, they could have made other moves. Maybe they're in on Arenado. I don't know. But to me, this is bad for them and bad for the organization. It's going to set a bad precedent where maybe this is the reason why some of these big-name free agents haven't gone there. But, you know, I think at this point, if a deal is not made, I think it's going to be more unlikely come free agency when he tests the market that he's going to resign, because right now you're the only one talking to him, the only one that can talk to him. You're going to tell me now when 5-6 other teams are in the room and have the opportunity to now make their pitch that you even have more of a chance? I think at this point, if a deal is not done by tomorrow, I guess, then I think Vladimir is pretty much going to be gone out of Toronto, and he could be moved. I would imagine the trade deadline, but it could happen earlier than that. Who knows?
And if he goes at the trade deadline, it's probably going to be to a contender that needs a big bat, right? A team that's fighting for a wild card spot, or maybe a team that's, you know, fighting for a division, title spot. The teams that are maybe, like, for example, if it's the Mets and the Phillies at the top of the division and they need an extra bat, maybe, you know, it's going to be scary to see what team gets them, because to me it's going to be a good team. It's going to be a team that's in contention, ready to fight for the playoffs. A team maybe like, for example, last year, like Detroit, they were at the deadline a couple of games under 500. I think they were only 4.5 games out. You know, they didn't make a crazy move, but a team like that may make a move for a big bat, and it's going to be crazy.
Well, Detroit sold off. That's the funny thing. Yeah. They sold off.
And they almost traded Skubal, too, to get back at that. But to speak about them specifically, but it is going to be crazy to see how things turn out with Toronto. You know, you still got Bichette over there. He's another guy that's been struggling, and their fans must be devastated right now that this is even a possibility that they could lose this guy. You know, they lost out on Soto. You could kind of be okay with losing out on Soto and Alonso and, you know, getting Santander, right? Because you didn't have Alonso and you didn't have Soto to begin with. So it wasn't like you lost them to free agency.
Yes.
You were bidding for them and you didn't win. You could say, okay, we were in the mix, cool. And even Ohtani as well. There was a time I actually thought Ohtani was going to go to Toronto because he was on a plane supposedly going to Toronto, and everybody thought he was going to be a Blue Jay. And I actually had sweats for about an hour and a half as a Yankee fan thinking that this guy was going to be a Blue Jay. And I said, this can't be happening. But thank God he went to the Dodgers. So, but it's very interesting to see what's going to happen, because if they lose Vladdy, like I said, they are nothing. They are not, I don't care, Santander, Scherzer, they could have whatever they have. I don't think they're going to move any needles in the AL East if they lose this guy.
No, and again, you know, you can't let this guy walk for nothing. You could get a pretty decent haul and you know, potentially retool, you know. So, I mean, I guess we're going to know.
And even if you get five top prospects, how many of those are going to pan out, Mike?
That's also true.
You're a baseball fan. Besides being a Met fan, you're a baseball fan. How many of those prospects are going to pan out? Maybe two.
Right.
Maybe two.
Right, absolutely. And it depends on, you know, listen, it depends on who you trade with. And you know what? A trade partner in division. Back to the Red Sox. I could see them being in heavy on Vlad. The Mets have been rumored. I think, listen, if Vlad hits free agency, I don't want to guarantee him being a Met, but I see that fit happening, and I like it. I like it. To maybe make a move at the deadline, I could see Boston going for it, especially if they're, you know, in the hunt for the division. If they're right there, you know, if they're leading, why not take the extra leap and put you guys over the top?
But I think Boston would have to really, really offer a package that would, like, blow their socks off, no pun intended. Because even if you're Toronto, you don't want to help a team that's in your division, you know, potentially.
No, of course not.
Potentially upgrade their team with a guy that, you know, was on your team that was such a big staple to your offense. And then to give them to the Red Sox, the Yankees, or, you know, whoever in the AL East would be sort of diabolical on the Blue Jays' part. Yeah. I actually see him getting traded to the National League. That's just my opinion. If he does stay in the AL, it's going to be to either the Central or the West. I don't see it happening because we already know, you know how I feel about the Mariners. They don't sign anyone or trade for anyone, it seems to be. So I don't think they'd make a move. So that's why I'm saying I think the NL is going to be the next place that he winds up if it's not with Toronto. So it's, to me, it's either Toronto in the AL, and if it's not Toronto, it's going to be an NL team. I do think the Giants would be a good team in the mix. I do see the Mets, obviously, in the mix. You know, I don't know about another team. Maybe in the Central, you have the Reds that were interested in upgrading at first. But like I said, I think Vladdy wants to go to a winner, and I think he wants the spotlight. And you're not going to get that in Cincy, and you're not going to get that in San Francisco. You will get that as a Met, and I do think that's where he possibly winds up.
Well, to me, trading for Vlad as a Met fan, I don't want to do it. I'd rather wait for the free agency to get there. If wherever he goes, he doesn't sign an extension, but he did say this is the deadline. He does not want to negotiate. So, you know, I almost don't want to do it for the fact of it kind of gives me the Carmelo Anthony trade to the Knicks vibe.
Where, right, you could have got him in free agency and said you gave up 6 or 7 key guys for him.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen, if the Mets are gelling at that point, I mean, you have a first baseman, you have a DH. You know, I don't know where the season's going to be at that point. At this point in time, with the way the team is constructed, I'd rather just wait for free agency.
I agree with that.
I don't want to make a move for him.
Because I think the Mets right now, you know, just to touch on that, if they're going to give up prospects or trade for anything, it should be for pitching.
That's I agree.
Just right now. And then blow all the money you can on Vladdy when he becomes a free agent.
Yeah. And hey, listeners, what do you guys think? Listen, by the time you guys are hearing this, there could be a decision. Vladdy could have signed the extension or not. But we'd love to hear from you. Again, on Instagram, DiamondDiscussions25. Leave us some comments. Let us know. Or even leave us some comments on the actual podcast. We respond to them. We hear them. We read them. We love to read them. It's no, you guys are engaging with us. That's what we want. This is why we're doing this. We want to create discussion. We want to talk baseball. This is why we do this. And again, on Twitter and X, at DDiscussions25, guys, reach out to us. Let us know what you guys think about all the topics we covered tonight, and let us know your thoughts. Joe, you got anything in closing?
No, that's it for me right now. I just hope, like I said, as a Yankee fan and to all my fellow Yankee fans out there, that this Stanton thing gets sorted out just so we have a full squad come, you know, the opening day, and hopefully we're just all intact. That's all I hope, and I hope for the Mets too. I don't want to see us going into the season with you know, our revamped lineups. You know, you guys with Soto and us with Goldschmidt and Bellinger. I don't want to see guys hurt to start camp and to, you know, potentially lead into the new season, because that would just be kind of brutal for New York baseball, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know what? Look, as far as that goes, before we get out of here, yeah, look, I want both teams come Subway Series time. You know, I want both teams at full strength, and I want a New York street fight. I want to see what that's going to be. So, you know, I mean, listen, I hope everything works out to an extent, but we'll see what happens.
Yep, and like I said, it's a long season, and everything is going to play out, and it's only going to play out in front of us, so we'll be able to analyze everything as it happens, I guess. It's going to be a very, very interesting next couple of weeks.
For sure. Guys, in closing again, reach out to us. Talk to us. Engage with us. Comment on any front you want, whichever is most comfortable for you. We want to hear from you. We want to engage. We want to open up these realms of discussion. We want to hear from you. Maybe you guys have an outlook that we haven't covered. We want to hear it.
And maybe we can shout you out, too, on the cast. Like, if you have a great question that we could debate about, we'll shout you out and show you some love. So, yeah, just like Mike was saying, DM us, get us on X or Twitter, whatever you feel comfortable calling it. And, yeah, just give us your topics, questions, whatever you want to do, and we'll get to you guys. We really appreciate the love and the feedback. Thanks, guys.